But our passage today has perhaps one of the saddest and most solemn question anybody could ever be asked. And it's fallen to me to talk about this passage. So I have to ask this question. It's on the screen. It's in our passage. Why didn't you believe? The reality is that all of us, the Bible tells us, will one day have to give an account of ourselves, and me included, you know. I don't rule myself out of that. We all have to give an account of ourselves. And it's a very sad thing to think that in that day, some people will actually have to be asked this question. Why didn't you believe? So let's read our passage. It's Luke 20, verses 1 to 8. It's on the screen. And I wonder if you can spot when the question is asked. Luke 20, verses 1 to 8. One day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple, that's perhaps what they would have looked like on the screen, these religious leaders, people in the teaching the temple, the court, and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him, this great delegation of religious leaders. "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things?" they said. "Who gave you this authority?" He replied, this is Jesus replied, "I will ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say his baptism was from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say his baptism was of human origin, all the people will stone us because they were persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered, this is their answer they give to Jesus, "We don't know where it was from." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Jesus doesn't answer them. Now, if you'd opened your Bible for the first time and never read it before, you might think that the Lord Jesus was being awkward and difficult by not answering their question, because he always wanted to answer people's questions. He was so willing to hear people come to him and ask questions. But we need to understand where we've got to in the book of Luke. We're at chapter 20. We're over three quarters of the way through the book. And the next big event will be what we've been talking about, the Lord Jesus coming into Jerusalem, his crucifixion, death and resurrection. Biggest events in all of history. So we're at chapter 20, we're way through the book, and we need to reflect on where these men have got to, these religious men that have come to Jesus, to understand why he didn't answer them. And it's a frightening thing to think that any individual could reach the point in their lives where God doesn't answer them. Now, I have to say at the very start, I believe that the Lord Jesus speaks to every human being, right up, or most human beings, right up to the very last breath they take. But it appears from the Bible that there are some people, and it seems these men are in this group, where they reach the point where God, they've made their decision not to believe, and God won't answer them. And I hope that no one here this morning could be in that position. But let's think about why they had got to this point. As I say, we're way through the book, and what evidence had these men been given that the Lord Jesus was who he was and what he had come to do? They'd been given so much evidence, and I mean, this is not in our passage, but I want to bring it up on the screen and ask you about the evidence that God has given you and I. One of the biggest pieces of evidence is his creation, isn't it? Last Wednesday, the 20th of March, was, believe it or not, the first day of spring. I don't know quite why it was. It's something to do with the tilt of the earth or something. Maybe some expert can explain it to me. But that was the first day of spring. It may not have felt like it that day, but it was. And in the next weeks and months, we'll see all around us, the trees burst into life, the flowers coming up, and we'll be again reminded of the beauty of all around us. And year after year, we see it. Creation. Even when we hold a young baby in our arms, we marvel at the little fingers and we're awestruck by the God of creation. Evidence that he's the creator. And these men knew it, these men who had confronted Jesus that day. But there's the evidence from that Luke has already given in his book. You might remember my PowerPoint, my very fancy PowerPoint, very proud of it. But here's the four big pieces of evidence that Luke gives as to who Jesus is. John the Baptist had come, preparing the way. We'll talk about him a little bit more, because he's mentioned here in our passage. But he pointed to the Lord Jesus and said, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." First big piece of evidence as to who Jesus was. And then, when the Lord Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened, and a voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my Son, listen to him." God himself, the second big piece of evidence that Luke gives us. And then the Lord Jesus himself, when he stood up in the synagogue, he read from the Old Testament and he said, "This scripture is fulfilled today about me. I have come to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the lame." And then finally, even the dark demonic forces had to admit who Jesus was. The demon-possessed man came and he cried out, "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." So even the dark world of satanic forces had to admit who Jesus was. So that's at the beginning of the book. And then there was all those miracles. Now, the miracles weren't just wonderful pieces of evidence showing how powerful God was. They were signs. Because, you know, when the Lord Jesus healed the blind man and opened his eyes, he wants to do that for us at the spiritual level. Sin, being sinful is described as walking into darkness and living in darkness. The Lord Jesus wants to open our eyes spiritually that we would see. And you remember this man who was lowered down through the ceiling? Fantastic story of these men who bravely took their friend up onto the roof, paralyzed, and lowered him down on his bed in front of Jesus. Now, we know that he healed him, but he didn't heal him. That wasn't the first thing he said. The first thing he said is, "Your sins are forgiven." And that's remarkable, because only God can forgive sins. But then he confirmed that he was who he was, that he was the Son of God, by saying, "Take your mat up and walk." And the man did that. And now he could walk in newness of life, as the Bible says. He could walk as a Christian. Loads of evidence that these men had seen. This great delegation of elders and scribes had come to Jesus to confront him. And what did they confront him with? Well, they said to him, "By what authority do you do these things?" Now, what were they talking about? Well, if you have a Bible, if you look at the verses in the chapter before, the Lord Jesus had gone into the temple and he had seen the money changers and he had seen all these tables with animals ready to be sacrificed, being sold, and he had thrown them all out. And he'd gone round and turned over the tables with the money changers. And these men had come, this great delegation of religious leaders had come to say, what authority do you have to do that? And we have to ask ourselves, what is Jesus saying? Well, he doesn't actually say anything. He doesn't answer them. He first of all talks about John the Baptist. But you might think that's extreme, that Jesus would go in and turn over the tables and throw all these people out. And, you know, what was he saying? Why was that such an important event? Well, John's Gospel explains to us that you have made my Father's house, the temple, a place, a marketplace. A place where you could come and, you know, the more money you had, the bigger the sacrifice you could make. And that meant the religious leaders made more money. They were very wealthy men. They had turned religion into a business. And that's the worst possible thing about religion, that could be turned into a business. You see, God is not in business, is he? We don't come to God and hope that we can earn our salvation through good works and through the things that we have done. And this is why the Lord Jesus was so angry about this. Because God is out to give. For God so loved the world that he gave, is in that same chapter in John where he threw out the people out of the temple. God is out to give. He's not out to get as much as he can. And you know, I have to ask the question this morning, how do you feel about God? There are many people in our world who imagine that at the end of the day, God will look at my life and say, well, look, you know, you haven't done too badly. You haven't killed anybody. You were pretty good. You gave to charity, all your good works. A lot of people imagine that that's what God is like. That's what that final day will be like. But what would that make God out to be? That would make God out to be like he was in business. Like he owed us a place in his heaven. God owes us nothing. He's given us everything. We can't merit our salvation. And this is why this made the Lord Jesus so angry, that these men had so distorted the gospel, so distorted what God is like, turning God into a sort of a businessman. And, you know, you can earn your salvation. And these men come and challenge him. What authority do you have to turn over these, to throw all these people out of the market, out of the temple? And Jesus asked them a question about John the Baptist, which seems strange. Why did he talk about John the Baptist? And this goes right back to what John's role was. John came before the Lord Jesus. He was the forerunner, as they called him. He came before the Lord Jesus to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. But what was that? What did that mean, preparing the way? Well, John himself says that we prepare the way for the Lord Jesus by repenting. That's the first step we must take. Repent. We must repent. That's the first step that our hearts need to take before we receive him. Recognizing that we are sinful. We have nothing to bring to God to give him, to earn our salvation. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. So Jesus asked them this question. Why was this baptism that John, a baptism of repentance, was it from heaven or from men? And they had a dilemma now, because if they said, well, it was from heaven, he would ask them, why didn't you believe him then? And if it was from men, if it was just a thing that was invented by a man, then the people would stone these men because they realized that John the Baptist was a prophet. So he doesn't answer them. And I'm going to put our question up on the screen again, because we've come to near the end of the book. And the Lord Jesus asks these men, or at least they ask themselves the question, because they knew that he would ask it, why didn't you believe him? But they had to ask it in their own minds, why didn't you believe him? And it's fallen to me to talk about this passage today, unfortunately, but I have to ask you the question this morning directly. Why don't you believe him? All the evidence is before us. Creation, the Lord Jesus in his life, perfect life, given for us to redeem us. Not for us to earn our salvation, but for us to come to him in simple repentance. And I ask you this morning, do you believe him? But I can't end on that too serious a note, because I don't want you to feel this morning, as I sometimes felt as when I was young, in the environment I grew up, want you to feel coerced or forced into coming to the Lord Jesus. I want you to come to him because of who he is. And I'm going to finish by thinking about someone who makes a wonderful contrast with these Jewish religious leaders. Can anyone tell me, and we'll think about this probably more next Sunday, can anyone tell me who it was that first met and talked to the risen Lord Jesus? Mary, yes, Mary Magdalene. Probably think about a lot about more about this about next Sunday, but I'm bringing her up here now because I love it as a contrast to these religious men. She was seeking the Lord Jesus in the garden. She had seen him die. She'd come to the tomb, it was empty. And she was seeking because she loved him. She wanted at least now to go and worship him at his grave, as she thought he had died and that was it. And her eyes are filled with tears, weeping for her Saviour. And she hears this voice behind her. Woman, why are you crying? Who are you seeking for? And just think of the tenderness of that. Those lovely questions now that the Lord Jesus is asking Mary. She'd come seeking. I wonder, are you seeking for a Saviour? Are you seeking for answers to your questions? Mary had a life of tremendous difficulty. It says that she had 7 demons, whatever that means. It means that her life was fraught with mental torture. But the Lord Jesus had brought peace and healing, and she was now seeking him, at least as she thought, to come to his grave to remember him. And through her tear-filled eyes, she turns to see this man, and she says, she thinks it's the gardener. And she says to him in her frustration and in her tears, tell me where you've taken his body, because the tomb was empty. Where have you taken him? That I might go and get worship at least him as at his grave. And then she hears this word, one word, Mary. And in that moment, she knew who it was. She had relationship with him. She knew him, he knew her by name. Do you know the Lord as you're in a relationship where you could say he knows me? She had come seeking. And in that moment her tears were gone. That's what he'll do for you at the spiritual level. There may be more tears in your journey as a Christian, but that's what he'll do for you. He'll take away that real sorrow that comes from sin. He'll take it away. And you can know him by name. And he'll know you by name. Relationship. She'd come seeking. She'd come crying. And you know, sometimes we need to come in our tears of repentance to God. And that was the beginning of relationship. And she calls him, when he says Mary, she says, teacher. Not Lord, but teacher. I love that too, because teachers explain things, don't they? And give us answers. And if you come to the Lord Jesus, he'll take away your sin and he'll give you answers. Not maybe right away, but over the course of your Christian journey, he'll give you answers to your problems. Will you come to him this morning? Or will it be the case that one day you might have to be asked that question, why didn't you believe? Let's pray. Father, we come to you at the end of our short time together, and our hearts are heavy that there are those who reach a point in life where they no longer hear your voice. But we know that you're a God who wants us to come to you, and you will, if we cry out to you in repentance, you will hear our voice. And it's the beginning of relationship. And we pray that there would be no one who would leave here today without knowing the one who wants relationship with us and wants to bring us peace, the peace that Mary had when her tears were removed that morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.